Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm going to make my bold Commanders predictions coming up later this segment because I saw a piece written by Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus that got me thinking about bold predictions. They're doing it for every NFL team. He covered the NFC East, and he joins us now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the book. Sam, it's Grant. Good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. So we'll go around the NFC East in just a bit, but I want to start with the Commanders. So you had three predictions. These are out on a limb, but you think they could come to fruition for Washington. So I want to start with Jamin Davis improving his PFF grade by 30-plus points. Quantify for people what that might look like in terms of performance for him this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge jump. Obviously, PFF's grading scale is on a 0 to 100 scale. Anything below 50 is pretty bad play. And he ended last season with a 46.8, I believe. So jumping from 47 up to 77, 80 would be going from, you know, one of the lower ranked linebackers in the league to one of the better grading players at his position. And I think he's well capable of that. I mean, he was a first round pick for a good reason. His athleticism and explosiveness and what he's capable of is obvious just from watching the tape. And when you look at him play in his rookie season, you could see the issue. It was processing time. It was, you could kind of see the hesitation that every single play created in him. And that hesitation just doesn't fly in today's NFL anymore. Like, offense are too difficult to stop. If you take a half a beat, you're out of position. And if you're out of position, you're getting blocked or you're getting taken out of the play and you're just not able to take advantage of that athleticism. So I'm working on the basis that I think a year of suffering through that is going to get him up to speed. It's going to get him up to the NFL level, the speed of the game. And once he's there mentally, I think he's got all the capability in the world to be a top-tier linebacker.
How frequent is it that a guy just for some reason, whatever it is, doesn't make the transition to the point where that processing time goes away? Because it stands to reason as a rookie, that's probably an issue a lot of players have. But as you said, you see all the physical traits. He checks every box. I'm sure there are guys throughout history where we're 3 years in and you're going, man, it's still just not happening. Like, how frequently does that happen with guys of his ilk in the middle of the first round?
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is now linebacker is maybe the hardest position in the NFL to play outside of quarterback because of the way the league has gone. And it's almost, it's not even worth kind of comparing them back 10 years to how linebackers used to enter the league. We're talking about a completely different challenge that these guys have to deal with now. And every step of offensive evolution over the last 10 years has just made their life more and more difficult. So now what you're seeing is most off-the-ball linebackers come into the league and struggle pretty badly early on. And then they go one of two ways. Then you get that fork in the road, and either the problem was you were just overwhelmed with the speed and the difficulty of the job in year one, and once you've sort of adjusted to that, once you're at that speed again, now you go back to being, you know, a great athlete, a great playmaker, and somebody physically capable of playing the position, or you just get overwhelmed by the difficulty of the job and you're not able to succeed at this level relying on the physical traits and the abilities that you had in college where the job was just so much easier. So I don't think there's any great way of telling necessarily how a guy is going to progress or which fork in the road they're going to take. But I think we saw enough from Davis, and he improved, you know, late in the season. His PFF grades were getting better by the end of the year. I think we saw enough in his play to at least think that he's going to go in that direction rather than just stay overwhelmed and out of his depth.
The voice of Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, bold predictions for every NFL team. He covered their predictions for Washington. All right, your second prognostication was that the defense will improve its ranking, I believe, by 10-plus positions. Now, in DVOA, they went from third a couple years ago to sixth to the bottom last year, and overall ranking top five to bottom seven or so as well. So you're seeing a big bounce back here in this prediction.
Yeah, I think Washington, they kind of fooled everybody last year. You know, a lot of people were high on them going into the season and expecting them to maybe make a playoff run and all these kinds of things. And we lost Ryan Fitzpatrick early in the season. The defense played terribly relative to expectations. And I think the pendulum has kind of swung all the way in the wrong direction or all the way to the other end. And now we're sort of way low on where we think this team could or should be. And the answer is probably somewhere in the middle of those two extremes. I think we're closer to this year is going to be what we're expecting from them last year than a repeat of what happened a year ago. Obviously, the defense played badly, but what was more, I think, relevant to what kind of bounce back they're going to have, it was unusually bad in sort of very unstable, volatile numbers. Like, their performance on third downs was ridiculously terrible. Like, just unbelievably bad relative to what it should be or what any kind of defense typically is. And I don't think that that's down necessarily to one specific failing. I think that's just sometimes that's the way it goes, you know, and sometimes you end up playing unusually badly in really high leverage situations. And when that happens, obviously that costs you more than it would if you were just playing badly across the board. So I think the defense is better than it showed a year ago. I think it's even better than that because they're not going to be as bad. They're going to positively regress statistically in those kind of higher leverage areas. And I think we probably see a defense that's just significantly better than it was a year ago.
And they face, and you hit on this, but easier competition by way of both
Absolutely.
Teams and quarterbacks, which I think is
yeah.
massive in the whole conversation about them this year. But I guess the way I would play devil's advocate, I want to see what you think about this, is they lost Settle and Ioannidis on the D-line, and they replaced them with just Fedarian Mathis, the second-round pick. They lost Landon Collins, who was a huge disappointment until they moved him into their, you know, their Buffalo nickel role, and that was a great package for them down the stretch, and everyone played better, including how awesome he was, and they really didn't do much to replace him either. I feel like they're just thin. I mean, they don't have a lot, and if Jamin Davis doesn't break out, it's him and Cole Holcomb and then just kind of dudes off the scrap heap at linebacker. So I worry about their depth a lot.
Well, first of all, I'm going to need you to respect the great David Mayo an awful lot more
That's
than that
point.
Before we go any further. But no, you're right. They have had the depth chipped away at a little bit. I think one thing that could offset that is a bounce back from some of the players that underwhelmed, you know, whether it's Jamin Davis, but also William Jackson, we know is a better player than he showed last season. Chase Young has been beat up and dealing with injuries, and we haven't really seen, I think, what he's truly capable of yet as well. If he's able to stay healthy and or get healthy and then stay healthy and show something closer to what we expected him to be at the NFL level, I think there's enough ways where the individuals could play better and offset the loss of depth and the fact that they have gotten a little bit thin. But you're right, injuries in particular could absolutely derail that progress.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, does a great job covering the league. You should be following him and their content as we ramp up for the 2022 season. All right, the third and final prediction, you made three for every team in the division for Washington, and this is kind of painting with a broad brush now on all sides of the ball, but you've got them sneaking into the playoffs as a bold prediction here, so write that script for me.
Yeah, I mean, look, the first thing is that the NFC is not the AFC, and it's going to be an awful lot easier for these teams on the fringes to get a wild card spot in the NFC. The division winners, you know, may run off into the distance, and there may be a gap between those teams and the teams that are not quite as good, but there's going to be a bunch of teams that have a realistic chance of snagging a wild card spot in the NFC, and I think Washington could be one of them. Like, trading for Carson Wentz is not going to get too many people excited. The days of Carson Wentz looking like any kind of top-tier quarterback, I think, are long gone. But the important thing to focus on is how much better Carson Wentz should be than Taylor Heinicke. And even if Wentz doesn't play any better than last season, he will be a better player than Taylor Heinicke by a pretty big margin. And that's before you get to the idea of adding a guy like Jahan Dotson, who you know, could take this offense to somewhere different. Curtis Samuel potentially being healthier. Just there's weaponry to work with in terms of McLaurin, those other guys in the receiving core. That offensive line should still be a very good unit, even with Brandon Scherff departing in free agency. The backfield is very strong. The offense is, I think, capable of putting up decent production and points against people. And as we just talked about, the defense should be significantly better. So, and again, the easier schedule than they had last season. So I think there's a lot of things leaning back in this team's direction, and I think they should be absolutely in that wild card chase late in the season.
You ranked some predictions for the other teams in the division as you dove into Dallas and Philly. Which do you like better? How do you rank those two teams atop the East?
I do like Philadelphia. I have a sneaking feeling that the Eagles might steal this division from Dallas. I love pretty much everything the Eagles did this offseason. I think they had a great offseason, whereas Dallas felt like they were just treading water and trying not to get worse, you know, or trying to keep pace with where they were a season ago. And that's fine, but, you know, if you're only staying where you are and everybody else is taking a step forward, you effectively took a step backwards. And I think that's what we might see with Dallas. The Eagles are going to be really interesting to watch because, you know, A.J. Brown should make a massive impact to this team, but they've made a bunch of other moves as well, which I think have a pretty broad range of outcomes. Guys like Jordan Davis, you know, he's capable of special things, but he also is a guy that played like 300 snaps a season in college and didn't dominate as much as he could or should have. So he could go, I think, in a number of different ways in terms of the impact he makes. And then a guy like Nakobe Dean in the third round, I think they drafted him. Dean could genuinely be the steal of the entire draft. I mean, that Georgia defense was one of the best defenses that college football has ever seen. And Nakobe Dean was the best player on that defense. Now, people will say, well, yeah, but he was helped out by, you know, Jordan Davis and people like that being in front of him. Well, one, Jordan Davis is still in front of him. But two, you know, that didn't help everybody else in that defense grade spectacularly well. Like, he was an incredible performer who, by all accounts, is, you know, we talked about Jamin Davis and how he might, or how he struggled year one to kind of get up to speed in the NFL and just be where he needs to be mentally. That has been talked about forever as being the strength of Nakobe Dean and how he's able to come in, absorb the playbook instantly, and be just so far further ahead of where young players are supposed to be. If he's able to do that, he should immediately start for that team and will make a big difference. So I think the Eagles have done an awful lot to move forwards, and I don't think you can make the same argument for Dallas.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. All right, let me sneak one in on the Giants because it feels like whenever we talk to anybody about the division right now, New York doesn't come up, and the expectation is that they'll be pulling up the rear. But I mean, realistically, you're one with Daboll trying to get Daniel Jones to turn a corner. How bad could they be?
I don't think they'll be terrible. I think they've done some nice things. They were in a tough spot in terms of just the flexibility that they had to get an awful lot better. You know, they couldn't go out and spend big in free agency and overhaul an offensive line. They had to do it in cheaper, lower value type of moves and hope it's enough. It would be huge for them if their rookie offensive lineman Evan Neal comes in as a good right tackle right away, and then all of a sudden you've got a bookend pair of Andrew Thomas and Evan Neal playing at a high level, and you just hope that the interior can play average football. If that happens, you know, they have receivers that are pretty good. Now, they haven't been able to stay healthy and on the field together at the same time, but there's definitely a world where that offensive line is fine, the receiving core stays healthy and is a decent group, and then Daniel Jones plays better within this Brian Daboll offense, and the Giants offense actually ends up looking pretty good. I think their defense is still going to be a problem, but I don't think that they'll be a terrible team. I just think that they're clearly, you know, the fourth best team in the division.
And as is generally the case, probably, whoever's fourth in the division, be a pain in the butt when they're playing the rest of the division, right? I mean, Eagles, Cowboys, Washington, they split with those teams. I don't think many people would be surprised. You could check out Sam's work at PFF_Sam on Twitter. And as I said, go to Pro Football Focus as we gear up for the season. Thanks a ton. Always great to have you on the show.
Anytime. Take it easy.
Be well. Sam Monson with us here on Grant and Danny Sands. Danny today on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.